"Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Okay. I love there's a massive gap between verse 9 and verse 10. So Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's... Wait a minute. What happened in between there? Here's what I think. Matthew assessed himself. He saw where his life was at. He was an assessor, a tax man. He assessed himself. Self-assessment, don't you love it? And he assessed Jesus' invite. He weighed up the invitation he'd just been given. And in order to do that, he knew that he had to assess who Jesus was. And in assessing himself and his invitation and the person who invited him, he chose to accept. And he stopped there, went and followed Jesus. No, because between verse 9 and verse 10, stuff happened. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, he accepted Jesus' invitation for himself, accepted who Jesus was, and then extended that invitation to everybody he knew. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. That's Jesus and his disciples. He extended the invitation that Jesus had given to him to everybody he knew. He knew them. Who do you extend the invitation to after accepting it? Those who know you. How do you do it? Well, obviously, he brought them to his house. They didn't get there by chance or on a whim or passing by. "Oh, Matthew, what's this about you giving up everything?" He invited them, many of them. Brought them to his house. He fed them. He entertained them. What did he entertain them using? His last pay. He just chucked in his job. That's how important it is to him. He's just jacked his job in, all security, no pension plan. He's still due for tax himself. He knows that. He's in negative equity. And whatever he's got left, he lavishes it, inviting everybody he knows to a feast in his house. And the guest of honor is this Jesus who's just extended him this invitation to follow him. Are we doing this? Are we doing this? Isn't this amazing? Isn't this incredible? Yeah, but Matthew's in the Bible. He's better than us. You're a saint. He's a saint. We're all saints. We're all called by God. Made Jesus central. He didn't make himself central. He made Jesus central. Even the Pharisees knew that. They were charging in there with their questions. Here's something to think about. Jesus willingly ruined his reputation on Matthew and his friends and sinners. Jesus willingly ruined his reputation in that town without going to that party. If I'm honest, Jesus willingly ruined his reputation by choosing me to speak tonight. He willingly ruins his reputation, or allows it, the chance of it, every time I go into Grace Mount High School, Grace Mount Primary School, every time I say hello to my neighbor, every time I give my girls a row. He willingly allows his reputation to be ruined by us. Willingly. But it doesn't just stop there. In Matthew's hearing, he made it quite clear where Matthew was and where all his friends were in the pecking order. Jesus says this: "It's not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick." That's some way to treat your host. Calling him sick, all his mates. Jesus doesn't mess about. Yeah, he places his reputation in our hands. But he knows who we are. He knows we're sick. He also knows that we've chosen his invitation because we want to get well. We've gone to the doctor. Do we want to get well? Is that why we went to the doctor in the first place? And when we went to the doctor, did we actually listen to what he said? Did we have the consultation and talk over him? Yeah, it's not quite as easy as that, Jesus. You see, I have this thing. Yeah. So did the sinners sitting around Matthew. They had this thing too. We all have this thing. It's different from all of us. We all have this thing. And it's a beautiful contrast. The first scene that we have with Matthew and his friends sitting around Jesus in a meal, and the last scene that we have with Matthew and his new friends, not sitting around Jesus, but worshiping him in awe. In Matthew 28, just another four verses, and I can read them if you don't want to look them up, it's fine. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He says to Jesus, "Is all authority, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." In the light of our assessment, that's who Jesus is. He assessed Jesus' invitation. More of a command, really, than an invitation. But in the light of who he is, isn't he worthy to give us a command? "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Assess who Jesus is. Assess Jesus' invite. As an invite is not this: should I do this? It's an invitation to: where should I do this? Therefore, go. It doesn't say, therefore, if, insert, blank. It says, therefore, go. Go. Make disciples of all nations. I said, therefore, where? When you accept the invitations, where? Should I be making disciples with my neighbors, with my family? Should I be making disciples of young people, of old people? Should I be helping make disciples at church, in the pub, in the bowling club? Where? Where, God? Where should I be making disciples? Well, then there's that last one. Assessed himself. And as we assess ourselves, it is as scary as assessing for tax. Because often we think we're going to come up short. Often we think we're going to give a lot more away than we planned to originally, but they'll get their money anyway. Surely, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's not us. What were we looking at before? This is the last line in a letter or a book all about a king with absolute power, care, and compassion. I am with you always to the very end of the age. So in that light, how are we getting on with our assessment? We now know, as if we didn't know before. We're able to assess who Jesus was and is. We're able to assess what his invitation is. We're able to assess ourselves in the light that he is with us. Let's pray before we sing. one last song. Let's pray. We choose God, we choose Lord Jesus to accept your commission, your invitation to go. You gave it to us just as surely as you gave it to Matthew. It's amazing, Matthew's first impulse to go get everybody he knew. Go treat them well. Go make Jesus central. And take the risk that their lives might be transformed too by that saving grace. God, show us where to start. You're calling us to do it as individuals. Show us where to start. Show us where we have influence. Show us where we have those that listen to us that see the difference you make to us. And if you're not, then sorry. Please, come make the difference tonight. Come make the difference in us so that the words that we say, the actions that we live, the life we lead by are yours. Mighty King, Jesus Christ, Lord of all. Hear our prayers. Know our hearts. Amen. I think we'll just do one last song to finish.
Just two things to say before.